Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise because he is worthy. Amen. It should be much louder. I have to begin like I begin every class, and everything I do is in prayer because my heart is to invoke the presence of God in this place. I know he's here because you're here, because we're two or three gathered together. There he is in our midst. But I like to pray just to release myself into his hands so he'll use this vessel of clay. And he'll speak to me to speak to you. So to me and through me to you. And I am a teacher, as he said. And a teacher is not just an information giver who dumps information. But we actually, as teachers, are facilitators of learning. So we're going to be interacting. I'll be asking questions, and don't just be going, we'll interact, meaning that, and it's okay to talk. You're not being preached at and talked at. It is a class. Are y'all with me? All right, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Father, I thank you that your grace is sufficient, your power is made perfect in and through my weakness. Father, I roll the care of this class and this time over on you, and I thank you that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that I could ask, think, dream, or imagine according to the power that works within me through your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, Father, with my hands lifted up and my heart filled with praise and my mouth filled with praise, Father, I ask that you would fill me from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, that I would hear a word from you, Father, and know what to do. I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you praise in Christ's name for all that you're going to do, and all God's people said. Amen. Any good? He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Spell good. Now, if we take the G-O-D out of G-O-O-D, you with me? Y'all with me? We come up empty. So G-O-D minus G-O-O-D, you come up empty. For God is good, and all good things come from him. Amen. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. I get to do this quarterly, which is a blast for me because I am passionate about teaching. I love to teach. Why? Because I love to learn. And I didn't always love to learn because I didn't think I had the capacity to learn. I am over 50 years old, and I went to school. I grew up in Boston. Little history, little story. And as we talk about spiritual disciplines, I didn't know this growing up because I didn't know Jesus. I didn't grow up knowing the disciplines in light of the kingdom of God, but I was an athlete. My father was a musician. He died when I was 9 months old, but brilliant musician. Got to play with the Duke, and my students looked like, Duke what? Who daddy-o? I teach high school now. I was like, whoo, old school. I said the other day, a 45, meaning a record, and they're like, what's that? I said, you played it on a phonograph, but you do this. You do that with it now, but we didn't want to scratch the record back in the day. It's a different day, different time, different group. But I grew up in a home where my mother, after my dad died, my mother, we ended up living in the projects of Jamaica Plain in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a city girl. And then she married again when I was 5, and my stepfather died when I was 11. So my thing was, you know, I love playing in the streets with the guys, and I played ball. I was a basketball player and ran track. Long story short, ended up at the University of Texas, Hook'em at Austin, and ran track and played basketball there where I met, back then, Rice Brooks, who wasn't even married to Jody. He had just come out of Starkville, Mississippi. I was a junior in college, trained for the 80 Olympics, but God had another plan in mind. I got saved a month before the boycott announcement, and the Lord spoke to my heart, you're running a new race. Get in the race, let the Holy Spirit set the pace until you see me face to face. When I got born again, I had an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. I'm fast-forwarding my testimony so you know kind of where I'm coming from. I always knew, because I was so involved in athletics, that I wanted to be a coach. And in order to coach, you had to be a teacher. And so went to school for education, but then I had in my mind, I wanted to be on the Wheaties box back in the day. And so God had another plan. In fact, like I said, we boycotted the 1980 Olympics, and the Lord just turned the tide of my life, and I became a high school teacher. And I still teach high school to this day. That's a long time. But I didn't always teach high school. I taught for 8 years and went back to grad school because I started seeing something that we'll see in spiritual disciplines. The tendency sometimes is to look at, well, I did that. Now that's over. And I don't need to do that anymore. When you first get saved, that's the beginning of something new. Amen. Born again and again and again and again and again and again, because everything is new every day in Him. Amen. And I didn't understand the concepts, like I said, of spiritual discipline, but I did understand in athletics as a discipline. And as an educator now who teaches graduate students, and like I said, I went back to grad school after teaching high school for 8 years, because I started seeing people come out and they wanted to go right to being a head. I was an athletic director in Texas. They wanted to be the head coach right away, and they just came out of school. I said, really? I said, I want you to teach seventh grade. Whoa, what do you mean, coach seventh grade? I know how to do X, Y, and Z. I said, yeah, you think you know. Because knowledge cognitively doesn't mean that you can practically flesh it out. That's why you can read a textbook, but not be ready to practically flesh out what you read in the textbook. Are you still with me? This is why the discipline part is so important. And as an athlete, that's been my world for a long, long time. I'm on the board of Athletes in Action, which is a sports ministry worldwide. And I just rolled onto the board of Kids Across America, where I was there the very first summer the camp got started. So I was on the ground floor of that at Kids Across America in Missouri. We're almost 30 years old. And I've gotten to see over the years a lot of different things. And being on the board, I used to be on the board of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So the sports world, the academic world, and the spiritual urban youth ministry world is kind of where God has had me most of my journey. And I have a passion for young adults and mature teens. Do you hear what I just said? Mature teens. No. I mean, I taught middle school for a little bit. Like, oh, now, hallelujah. Thank you for the big cheering. And, but what we're learning is that the adolescent brain, it starts at about 13. Now it goes all the way to about 23, 24, 25. And much of that has to do with the technology of the day, doing a lot of watch now. What we would do in disciplining our mind, technology does the processing for us. Are you with me still? And I want to teach in a manner, and I ask them all the time, just give me a dry board. Dr. Marion Diamond wrote a book called Enriched Mind. She taught at Cal State Berkeley a neuroscience class, over 700 students in the lecture hall, and her class every year had a waiting list, even when she was 84 years old. And they would roll in four, not dry boards, but chalkboards. She was old school, old school. And not only did they roll in a chalkboard, but she would write like this. My students think it's a foreign language if I wrote something like this. They're like, what's that? I said, that's cursive writing. They're like, well, what's that? And they stopped teaching this. They used to teach it in every class. You used to have to write in cursive. Why is cursive writing so powerful? And why is writing notes a little more effective, listen to me carefully, than just pulling it up on the computer? Because the brain processes through the discipline, watch now, of time and a little bit of effort. And so cursive writing gives the brain time to process. And this is what she would say. She'd roll in four chalkboards. She says, I write, you write. She didn't use the technology until the end of class. Then she put her slides up. But she made them write with her. Why? Because the brain processes as we do what we do. Y'all still with me? And I get every thing there is. I got an iPad, iPad Pro. I got Apple TV in every room that I have a big TV in, which is only two. But anyway, I'm slaying. Actually, three. There's one in the exercise room. But I did learn this principle, and I'm telling you this as I get ready for us to walk through this whole idea of spiritual disciplines, because your brain works by processing. We have what's called myelin, and the thick of the myelin is, the stronger the signal, I have the capacity to hold on to the information. And I tell people, will you catch this bottle for me? I tell people, you really haven't learned anything until you caught what I taught. There's an effort on the receiver's side. Toss it back. Whoa. See? And that's how we do. But there's an effort to get your hands around it and hold on to it. But you only have the strength and the capacity to do that if this is strengthened. And that's not that you're in the Bible every day doing this, but you're learning how to apply it in this situation, in that situation, in that situation, in this situation. And every experience allows the brain neurons to become stronger. Are you with me? And that's why Solomon said, two are better than one, and a threefold cord are not easily broken. So what you hear, what you see, what you write, and what you interact and dialogue about allows that myelin to thicken. Are you with me? I don't want this just to be a lecture, because like I said, I'm not a lecturer, I'm a teacher. So, and actually, I'm really not the teacher, I'm actually the conduit for the teacher. Who's our teacher who teaches us all things? The Holy Spirit. I know y'all are already, this is the high level. I know y'all already done the purple book, so you know. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the teacher who teaches us all things. Amen. And then he will bring to your remembrance everything he's taught you. There's a part of your brain called the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is on both hemispheres of the brain, and it allows you, it's actually designed for learned memory. Learned memory. Learned is past tense. Are you with me still? It means you did something in the past to hold on to it today. Come on, somebody. Yeah! That was free. Thank you. It's being recorded. Hallelujah. So just tell me where to find it. All right. So, since you have a handout, I'm going to try my best to stay true to it. Okay. We live in a time right now, and the beginning of your note says we're gratification, and that's why this instant thing. People want the quick fix, back in the day, my mother, even to this day, now she'll use it some, but she's not a big microwave woman. You understand what I'm saying? She's like, I don't do that in the microwave. I do that on the stove. And there's certain stuff, I just get the both, I throw it in the microwave. So they go, I ain't gonna do it like that. I'm like, well, you at my house. And I'm like, but I had you. You know how your mama do. I brought you in this world and I'll. Well, that's a mama thing. But my mother, she's old school in a lot of things, but there are principles behind that. And one of the first verses we'll look at is Paul writing to young Timothy. And Timothy actually was like a son to him in a sense. He discipled him. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. They're pastoral epistles. And why? Because Timothy was assigned to pastor the church at Ephesus. And there was a lot going on in Ephesus. It was a Greco-Roman culture. And Timothy had the responsibility of bringing those out of an idolatrous nation into the church alongside with Judean Christians who were religious in what they believed and thought that they were children of God just because they were Jewish and what they did. Are you following me? That's why in the book of Galatians they kept saying, you need to be circumcised too. And the writer's trying to tell them, no. It is all in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. If any man is, what? 2 Corinthians. Say it, you know it, 2 Corinthians. He is somebody said it over here, a new creation, old things have what? And then what? Now that word become, it's actually present progressive tense, remember the myelin. And all things are becoming and becoming and becoming new. Why? If you lived in a culture for so long, and you do things that way for so long, it's just not going to change because now you're in Christ. Your mind now has to catch up with what instantly happened in your spirit. Are you following me? You are born again spiritually. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. I'm laying groundwork here before we get into the spiritual discipline so that you understand. Because Paul later tells Timothy that bodily discipline profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, not only in this life, but in the life to come. I'm in the book, 1 Timothy 4:8. Y'all with me? And I think that's on your sheet. Might be. So the principle that I want you to see here and to understand, and that's why I'm teaching this ground level, because people ask me all the time, Dr. Renee, how do you know all those verses? I said, it's because throughout my life, I had to learn them. I remember when this verse became so real to me. Are you following what I'm saying? But it's an ongoing thing. An ongoing thing. Our becoming and becoming and becoming new. You with me? Now remember, Paul, I'm giving you a little backdrop. Timothy was his, like unto his son. Actually, Timothy had a Greek daddy who we don't hear much of. Excuse me. But he also had a Jewish mother and grandmother. And you can read the writings of Timothy. I'm not going to go into all of the book right now, but, you know, Timothy is told by Paul, hold fast to the teachings which you first heard from your grandmother and your mother. Generationally, he was hearing about Jehovah God, even though he was in a Greek nation. Are you with me still? And that's why Paul was emphatic when he told the church at Rome. He said, I urge you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, to present your what? Your bodies, a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship unto the Lord. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed how? By the renewing and renewing, present progressive and renewing of your mind, mild and thickening, so I can hold on to who God says I am and not what the world's telling me I should be. Am I making sense? All right, every now and then I'm going to say aha moments. What is God teaching you? What are you hearing? Because when you speak it out of your mouth, the word is nigh thee in thine heart and also in thy mouth. When you speak out of your mouth, you'll hear yourself say it. And in that portion of the brain that is called the auditory cortex, that's the same place, by the way, where that hippocampus is for learned memory. Hallelujah. That's why, and God said, light. Because, see, your hearing... That's why it doesn't say, he who has an eye to see, let him see. It says, he who has a what? Ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the ecclesia. Now, your brain, this is what's so awesome. Paul said, listen, Phillips translation says it this way. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We know that. Another translation says, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. It means there's already a mold there that they're trying to squeeze you into. And he says, don't allow that to happen. And the only way you're not squashed or squeezed into a certain mold is because what you are becoming is stronger. Now watch this. Jesus said, take my what upon you and learn of me? My yoke. A yoke was a teaching of a rabbi. It was a doctrine or a teaching or a learning of somebody. And what they did, they yoked one ox to a mature ox, and the mature ox would be disciplining the immature ox until the immature ox now was doing what the mature ox did and then brought on another ox. Are you following me? That was discipleship back in the day. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it says the yoke is destroyed because of the what? Who knows? The anointing. And the anointing means, and actually another translation says, because of fatness. You with me? If I am growing and maturing as a young one yoked to Christ, and the more I'm yoked to him, those old ways can no longer have a shackle on me. But now I'm being fattened spiritually, and I break that yoke to start a new yoke in him. I y'all, woo-wee. I ain't done that one before, but that was okay. I love the Holy Ghost because he's such a good teacher. So am I making sense? I want you to understand the process before we just dive into the sheet and go through the verses. Because you can read. Now you don't even have to write the answers in. They give them to you. That means that gives me a lot of freedom. Get it. No, sorry. I teach high school. Work with me. Hallelujah. Every night I get lost. I teach high school. Amen. So. But you know what it does? It keeps my mind fresh. And it makes me to understand the today that I'm dealing with, that there's nothing new under the sun. These principles that we're going to learn, they have not changed. Because God says, I am the Lord God, Malachi 3:6, and I changeth not. Amen. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus, amen, who called himself the truth. So if Jesus is the truth and Jesus and the Word are one, in order to know the truth about life every day, I've got to be in the Word. Amen. You see it? But if we don't discipline ourselves to go there, we will be squeezed into the mold of what everything, watch now, is telling us day to day. I do a study in my class. I teach high school seniors. Majority of my kids sleep with their phone right there in the bed with them or right there on the nightstand. And the thing that keeps you awake and doesn't allow you to sleep is the light on the phone. So every time you go, the light comes on. Are you with me? And what's happening, and this is why the scripture says that he gives his beloved sleep. So if something's robbing you of your sleep, it's not of him. Am I making sense? Now, when God awakens you, he's like, Lord, really? It's 3 o'clock. He goes, I got you, though. I got you. Because if you are on his time, you're right on time. And he will make your time useful. Amen? So I want you to understand the principles as we dive in this. And why is this important to me? Now, anytime you see the word body, as we read, because you're going to see bodily discipline profits little, right? Anytime you see the word body in the New Testament, that word is the word soma. It's where we get somatic nervous system from. What I see, what I hear, what I taste, what I touch, what I smell. Okay? So, if Paul's telling Timothy, number one, spiritual disciplines are what? Habits and what? Practices designed to do what? Strengthen your relationship with God. Now, something happened in the garden. I want you to see how God designed you to be able to hold on to the truth. My heart now, in this season of my journey, as Erickson would say, see, this is how I do it in the public sector. You've got to be able to know your king in the craft as well as the word. He would say, I'm in that generativity stage where I'm excited about pouring into the next generation. I want to raise up another set of young teachers that'll teach the way the Holy Spirit instructs them to teach no matter where they go. Because the essence of the gospel is go ye therefore and teach, not preach. Uh-oh. Matthew 28, read it. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations. Amen? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, and it emphasizes it again, present progressive tense, or keep on teaching them. Watch this. To observe, yoke into a young one, all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Make sense? Because when you teach even a child how to tie their shoe, and they've learned how to tie their shoe, and you want to tie it, come on, baby, look, we got to get to church, we're going to be late. Let me tie your shoe. No, I tie. They push you off, they want to tie because they've learned something. And then if they see somebody else's shoe untied after they just learned how to tie a shoe, what do they want to do? I tie, I'll tie your shoe. It's a principle of how God made us. Isn't that awesome? So this word soma, why is this important? Understand this principle, because the next scripture we'll see here, and the reason I said Timothy being Paul's adopted son in a sense, because his mother and grandmother could teach him a lot about Jehovah God and a lot about the things of the kingdom. We did a women's seminar yesterday. I can teach young men, and I do. I have a lot of young men that I've taught over the years in classes and at conferences and seminars and workshops, and I can teach them concepts, but I cannot teach a man how to be a man. He needs another man to show him how to be a man. Are y'all with me? And so what God did in his sovereignty, he allowed Paul to meet Timothy. And he knew Timothy knew a few things because out of the abundance of the heart does the what? He begins to take him on like his own son. He even had Timothy as a young man, like in his 20s, he had him circumcised. And usually circumcise a boy on the 8th day in the Jewish culture. The only purpose that he had him circumcised is so that when he brought him to the Jewish older men, they would see that he was like unto them. That was really the only reason, in a sense, that he did it. Are you following me? Because Paul later tells Timothy in his writings, he says, he who is a Jew, who's one inwardly, actually it's Romans, one inwardly, born of the Spirit of God. Amen? You're a son of God. To as many as received him, not only did he give you the right to be called, it says the right to be called children of God, to those who even call upon his name. Amen? All right, thoughts, comments, ahas right now. Every now and then you take a little breach and you let people process. Here we go. Tell me something you're hearing, learning, something that was fresh or something that was reinforced. You can use your notes or you can just say, oh man, that thing spoke to me. You can talk.
The yoke thing is very interesting.
The yoke.
You hear it all the time. It's always quoted in verses and stuff, but just the whole idea, the visual that you gave.
Of what a yoke is?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And how you train one and then once you get the training. And even the shoe tying thing.
Yes. Practical.
Every parent understands that.
Yes. Practical. Something else. The yoke. Yes.
Oh, the yoke.
No, she said that's what she learned. What'd you learn?
Myelin.
Oh, the myelin.
If you've got weak myelin,
mm-hmm.
can you still strengthen?
Absolutely. The brain has what's called neuroplasticity. It means, and that's how God made us, because we have regenerative tissue in us. Because we were never designed, by the way, to die. The law caught up with us. You understand what I'm saying? Because he told Adam, when you eat of the tree, I tell you not to eat of, and that day you shall surely die. And he was the first human species ever to come into the earth. And now, because of, I want to have this conversation when I get to glory. A couple other things I want to talk to Adam about, but anyway, we'll leave that alone for right now. But the human species that God created in his image and in his likeness, you know, he is, he said, Moses, tell him I am that I am. So the brain has what we call neuroplasticity. It has the ability to reshape. Unless there's been severe damage, the brain actually can process. That's why they tell the elderly, when they start to struggle with a little bit of dementia, they tell them to do mind games, like, what's that, that number thing. I like crossword. I'm a crossword girl. You know what I mean? And I like Scrabble. I have a pastor. She's a Scrabble queen. I said, but today you will be dethroned. No. Scrabble is, but I never would have played that. My mind didn't come alive until I got in the Word. So myelin can be changed. And you can grow it in different ways. But what you're doing is you're strengthening, you know, what is still yet alive. Does that make sense? Because your brain, you don't even use, we don't use much of our brain, actually. And so if you have two hemispheres of your brain, like if you put your hands together like this, that would be kind of like the size of your brain, literally. And there is a, I might get in trouble, this is recording for us, but Dr. Ben Carson, my thing is this, stay in your lane. He was a brilliant neuroscientist. I don't think he was a brilliant politician. That's my personal belief. Personal. This is Dr. Rochester's personal belief. I'm not saying that, saith the Lord. But he was a brilliant neurosurgeon. And he did one of the first hemispherectomy surgeries on a little girl that was having epilepsy issues. Okay? She was having seizures that could take her life. So they removed the left hemisphere of the brain. The left side of the brain controls the right side of the body. You with me? And the right hemisphere controls the left. And so when he removed the left hemisphere, it filled with neurofluid or cerebral fluid. You with me? So the doctor, her therapist said, you need to do your exercises. Now watch what's happening. Because he is the God that is what? More than enough. So on this side, you with me? Everything she needed that was eliminated was there, but it just hadn't been awakened yet. So when she began, and she had a little trouble initially, because when you don't do, this is why they take you to physical therapy right away now. When you don't do that therapy, now the left controls the right. You with me? She had to really work at it. And the doctor said, are you doing your exercises? And she said, some. And now all the girl had was like this, a crooked arm. But what happened, when she started doing those exercises, what was lying in wait, because he's more than enough, began to awaken when she did her exercises. Because he will do exceedingly, abundantly above and beyond what we could ask, think, dream, or imagine. So the principles of the kingdom, they are forever and they work in every facet of life. So when you see soma, here's what I want you to understand. He's talking about your five senses. So if we're going to walk in the spiritual disciplines, we need to start disciplining this little earth suit that we live in. Y'all with me? I'm going to walk you through, because you have the answers on your sheet, but I want you to grab this principle as we start. I guarantee you it'll change your study time in the Word. It'll change your study time in the Word. Now, soma means body. Now, watch this. On the day that they ate of the tree that God told them not to eat of, go to Genesis chapter 3 and somebody read verse 5. Verse 5. And then we'll come back to your sheet. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. And then I'll repeat it for recording's sake. And then we'll jump right into your sheet. And you'll see why Paul is telling Timothy some of the things that he's telling him. Y'all all right? Anybody else? I'm going to pull back in and say, ask what you're learning again in a minute, but we got to keep moving because we could do that all day, because I know different people are getting sparked in different ways, which is great. That means the Holy Ghost is teaching. Who's got Genesis 3, verse 5? Who has that? Okay, go on and read it.
For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good.
The enemy said to them, here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to trick them, make them think that they don't have what God said they already have, and that God's holding out on them. He said, God knows the day you eat of it, you'll be wise like him. They were already like him because he made them in his image and in his what? Likeness. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Amen? Already like him. But he says, the day you eat of it, what did he say would happen? What did it say there? Your what? Your eyes would be opened. In other words, now your senses will be awakened. And that now will be the dictating thing rather than the spirit that I created in my image. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So when they chose to eat of the tree, if I could do it like this. And so when we talk about disciplining ourselves to pray, disciplining ourselves to be in the word, disciplining ourselves to worship, you got to tell. That's why he says present your body, soma, a living and holy sacrifice. Meaning you got to keep it alive. Amen. If you didn't drink water, you wouldn't live real long. You need water. You know that 90 some odd percent of your blood is made up of water. Clogged. Anyway, I ain't gonna go there. Another day. Watch. Okay. So if you are a spiritual being, I'll make it in green. You with me? You have a soul and you live in a body. The day they ate of the tree, now watch, this is the outside world. The gateway, and I tell my students this, the word for soul, because you're going to see this come up in spiritual disciplines, the word for soul is the word psuche. It's where we get psychology from. Are you with me still? And I tell my students to do, we do this little tadiddy in my class, in my AP Psych class, and I said, we get up and we go, my psuche is three-way, my mind, my emotions, and my will. My mind, how I think, my emotions, how I feel, and my will, my choice to do. And beloved, all three of those things lie right in what we call the heart of the brain or the limbic system. How I think, process thought and decision making, emotions, amygdala, learned, hippocampus, don't have time to dive there, but I want you to understand there's a reason why he used the words that he used. It wasn't for naught. So when our soul, the bottom line is who and what is going to control your soul? We're talking about spiritual disciplines. If I'm in training as an athlete, and you'll see this verse, we already did 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily discipline profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, not only in this life, but the life to come. But the whole idea is that we grow and we get to know who God is. Amen? You see, number two up top, the spiritual disciplines are a means of grace. It is by grace that you are what? Saved. The word there is sozo. Made whole, made complete. You see it? It's by grace that we're able to do these things, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives us the grace to say no to, like when you're in training and serious training, like when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I guess it's been 3 years ago now, and thank you Jesus, 2 years cancer free, trying to stay that way, and, but when I had to discipline myself to shut out some things that were feeding the cancer cells in my body. And I had to call out to God for the grace to say, no, I love cheese. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like cheese on earth. No, anyway. But, you know, moderation. But I had to learn, like, if I wanted to get well, there's certain things that I had to do different. When I was training as an athlete, there were certain things that we had to discipline ourselves not to do. Are you following me? So, in light of the things of the kingdom, you want to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And that actually is on the tail end of what it said at the beginning, that people during that time were following 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of demons. They were listening to old wise tales and myths, and they believed those things more than they knew the truth. Are you with me still? And back then, they didn't have what we had. They had the Old Testament. They had the written law that the preachers and teachers at that time were teaching from. They didn't have the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John like we have in the letters. They were being written in the day, if that makes sense. Y'all with me still? So as we go through, I know it seems like I'm sporadic, but we really have covered most of these things. Look at Titus 2, and then we're going to come back to this. Because the gateway to your mind, it's your five senses. What I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, that's the soma. And at the end of the day, who and what's controlling how you think and how you feel and what you choose to do? Is it the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God? Or is it all the other things that are enticing you out here in the world? Make sense? Okay, so if we look at this Titus verse real quick, and then I'm going to keep moving. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for who? All people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify himself, a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You know what the New Testament's doing? It's restoring what God did in the garden. Bringing us back to a place where we see ourselves as God's children, made in his image and in his likeness. And that the Spirit rules us rather than the outside world ruling us. Are we in the world? Yes, but not of the world. He's trying to get us back to that place. And self-control, a lot of people would say self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Self-control, I beg to differ. I believe that self is controlled when we've done the first eight. Because it's written in an increment of, watch, love. As I'm growing in my spiritual discipline to know how to love people. Well, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not selfish or rude. Love is not easily provoked. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Check yourself on your love rate. You know what? Because there's some people that work my reserve nerve, not just my nerve. So I have to grow in my love. Okay, never mind. Maybe you don't, but I do. All right, so love, then it goes to joy. When you are walking in love, then you'll walk in that joy. In his presence is fullness of joy, and his right hand is pleasure forevermore. We're talking about spiritual disciplines. We have to discipline ourselves to walk this way. And when you're joyful, you're more at what? And then you tend to be more what? Patient, right? And then when you're patient, you tend to be good to people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, excuse me, kind to people. Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And faithfulness is number eight, and the ninth is self-control. I believe the self is control because eight is the number of new beginning. On the eighth day, what did he do? It was a new world, right? The sixth day he created man, amen? Seventh day he rested. On the eighth day, it was a different world. Ah, y'all don't know about that. Then where we come from? Huh? Okay, so eight on its side. Y'all, that's a crazy black woman. Yes, she is. Hallelujah. But eight is the number of new beginnings. Amen. So when we grow in this, it's by God's grace. Lord, give me the grace today to do X, Y, and Z. It's something that we grow in. And the whole idea is to know him and to love him. That's what this whole thing is about. Amen. I want to be more in love with him today than I was yesterday. Because the idea is to transform us into his likeness. 1 Timothy 4:8. That's why I said that I believe he's trying to get us back to the garden. Because it says, let us make man, that word is Adam, human species, in our image and in our likeness. In the image of God created he him, the spirit man, male and female created he them. Amen. Thoughts, comments, you good so far? Doc trying to fly through this. Okay, so if we are growing our psuche, if our mind's being renewed and our spirit is growing, hopefully, eventually, the spirit man is going to override. Because when they ate of the tree, this part died. And all they could do was be talked to from the outside in. Y'all with me? Influenced by everything they saw, everything they heard, everything they smelt and touched and tasted. Are y'all with me? All right. So we want to grow our spirit, man. That's why Paul says, you know, that we are, the inner man is growing day by day. Because see, this little earth suit, I had to attend the funeral of one of my former students yesterday, broke my heart. I was in the, you know, the they had a viewing for an hour. I did my workshop in the morning here at the conference, left, went to the funeral, and when I went to view, there were five guys that I taught along with him. They played football with him since they were 5 years old, and they were in front of me viewing, and they were just stuck at the casket. And when you see these big old burly football players begin to sob, I was just undone. It was like, okay. But the earth suit is going back to the earth. Death comes to all of us. It's never easy. We know it's coming, but it's never easy. And these boys were so broken. But this earth suit's going back to the earth. But we know we don't mourn like those who don't know him mourn. Because absent in the body, what? Present with the Lord. Instantly, he was in the presence of glory. Because this young man did know Jesus. But I tell you, death is a sobering thing. It shows us that we are mortal beings. That's why we had this little conversation with Adam. I'm telling him, like, Lord, sickness and disease, can't stand it. Why? Because it wasn't part of our nature initially. Amen? So, when you go to the next page, it says we want to cultivate spiritual maturity. That's another reason why. And cultivate is a gardening term. Amen? It's a gardening term. Jesus grew up in an agrarian culture. And in that culture, he used things that people could see every day. Because at the end of the day, a seed is always going to do what a seed does. Water will do what water does. A tree does what a tree does. And he always used things that no matter what hue you are, or where you came from, whether you had money, didn't have money, there were certain principles that were the same for everybody. And that's why I like the certain terms that are used in the Word. So when we talk about cultivating spiritual maturity, it involves discovering and submitting our what? Our will to God. Now remember I said to you, the suke is three-way. How I, and what I choose to do. I have to choose how to turn the wheel this way or choose to turn the wheel another way. You with me? I got a new RAV4 the other day, just before spring break. Love it, but it's kind of scary because I rode in a Tesla once. A friend of mine, Becky Hammond, she coaches with the Spurs. She's like my little sister. She's the first female coach in the NBA. And so I went to visit her, I guess it was about 2 years ago, and a friend of hers had a Tesla. It's the car that drives itself. A little unnerving, actually. And he goes, "Look, Renee, no hands." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And this car that I'm in, if you have the little button pushed, if you go over the line, it'll beep at you and it'll even jerk your wheel a little bit. I don't like that part. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, "Oh." You know why we don't like that? Because we feel like we have no what? Oh boy. Oh boy. I'm like, "Ooh, we got to turn that feature off." But it just makes you a little nervous because it turns itself. But God designed us, y'all. We have a spirit within us. The Holy Spirit says he will lead us and guide us into all what? Truth. And what did we say truth was? Go to John 17:17 and answer the question, what is truth? Yes. Set apart thy servants in truth because God's word is truth. And the Holy Spirit, if he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, he's going to point you back to the text. Amen. So that's why when you read the text in an area of your heart or discipline that's not quite there, that's why you ask for the grace to grow and change and mature there. Lord, help me here with my tongue. Lord, I need to grow here. Lord, help me not to take things so personally and to trust that you are my grace and you are my defense. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself the truth. Amen. Now, this piece about cultivating our spiritual maturity, submitting our will to God's will, my mind, my emotions, and my will, that's that decision-making piece. Y'all, that's a part of the brain, too. You have what's called, and this is why teenagers struggle. You see teenagers do some crazy things, and the parents will say, "What were you what? Thinking?" And they weren't. "What were you thinking?" Because here's the thing about us as humans. Because remember, they ate of the tree God told them not to eat of. So now the dominance is our senses. Are you with me? So the amygdala, that's the part that deals with strong emotions. And one of the strongest emotions, 1 Timothy 4 tells us what the strong emotion is. What is it? You heard it this morning if you were in the morning service. God has not given us a spirit of
fear.
See, fear is a spirit. One of them is, anyway. A spirit of fear. There are 365 verses that talk about fear not. Why? Because God knows every day something's going to come our way that causes us to fear or get anxious. That's why he says be anxious about what? But in everything, through prayer, spiritual growth, you with me? Spiritual discipline, and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and he will give you a what? A peace that surpasses your own comprehension. Amen? And then it says it'll guard your heart and your mind. My suke is three ways. See it? In Christ Jesus. Now, the amygdala, when that thing fires, it is actually connected. Now watch this. This is why we have to discipline ourselves. Whoops. I'll get it in a minute. Went somewhere. It's connected to the hippocampus. That's the part that I said deals with learned memory. If you've learned, there it is. If you've learned to fear certain things, you've conditioned yourself to fear it. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's where the enemy has a heyday with us. When you learn to fear something, and so what you've got to do, what is the, and usually comes this way. You hear voices in your head? Watch. He was an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Appearing real means your senses have been awakened to panic and to freak out. And you have to identify it, and you only can identify it if you know the what?
Word.
The truth. Are you with me? False evidence? You got to know the truth. You only know the truth by calling on the Spirit of truth to remind you of the truth. Are you with me still? And then you renew your mind, because right over here, there's a little place that we call the prefrontal cortex. That's decision making. And what happens when a person is anxious and fearful, and that's why we have all these disorders, and the disorders really have their root in a phobia. Prefrontal cortex. Prefrontal. You didn't know you were getting a neurology class, did you? A prefrontal cortex. Why? I want to combine how God made you. You can't just be all spiritual and forget about the earth suit you live in. So, what happens to us, and this is why we need spiritual disciplines, prayer, the Word of God, worship, because when you're praying, you're speaking, or you're meditating in your mind. When you're worshiping, you're speaking, hallelujah, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and you're singing unto the Lord, and you don't stop singing. How many of y'all remember the last song you heard in the morning? Doesn't that go through your mind all day long? Yeah, don't have time. Anyway, but when this amygdala is firing, fear is firing, it keeps reminding you. And that's why certain things, if I say don't think of a tree, you can already think of a tree. Don't think of that RAV4 I just talked about. Don't think of this. Don't think of that. Words can bring back memories. Are you with me? So when the amygdala fires, the hippocampus, it's that you get caught in a cycle of what you remember about that fear. And that thing, you get trapped there. It becomes like a yoke. Are y'all with me still? And that's why the yoke is destroyed by the what? Anointing fall on me. That's why we need to be in worship and in prayer and in the Word. Am I making sense to anybody in here? Ha! Sorry. I needed to do that for me. Whew. I have no idea. This week has been hard. We had three funerals within a week. And we have a woman just yesterday. I left the second seminar. I'm sitting out there talking to LaTanya Braxton. My phone's blowing up. I can feel it buzzing in my purse. And I looked at it. Renee called me. I called. She said, have you looked at your email? I said, no. We had another staff member just yesterday. Went in with a headache last week, and they brought her in. She had a brain bleed, and then it went out of control. She is... And the family's not going to do anything because they don't think there's anything she can do. I said, well, when you get there, you got to call on them. You understand what I'm saying? But, I mean, it's just been overwhelming. And I've had to just, I mean, yesterday I was like undone for a little bit. And I think it was so powerful because there were so many people at the service. It was interesting from every genre, every walk, and we had the Omegas fraternity that filled up a whole side. This is a Brentwood Baptist, not a small church. Then the middle section, the whole football team was there, and then Brentwood Academy and Unifootball. There was so many people there, and a lot of my babies that I've had that I've taught over the years were there. And I was a hot mess. I was so broken. When those boys, I told you, when I saw those boys, I just, and for 3 nights, y'all, it disturbed my sleep. I didn't sleep. I kept dreaming about this young man after I heard of his passing. And it wasn't until there was like a breakthrough yesterday. And I slept so soundly last night because he's finally at rest in my mind. You understand what I'm saying? But it was just, and sometimes you have to come into that place of worship and come into that place of the truth, absent in the body, present with the Lord. You had to see it in the word and in your spirit, because you saw that body in the casket, and it's like it shouldn't be in your mind. And I was in this war, and I had to call on him. That's why the spiritual discipline stuff is no joke. It's real, because I've been walking with the Lord for over 35 years more. It'll be, what's this, 2019? Yeah, April will be 39 years walking with Jesus. I love him more today than I did then, but it's been an ongoing journey, and there are still things that set me to my mind can go in a place where I can be in bondage to depression and oppression if you let it. Are you following me? That's why it's a discipline, and it's an ongoing discipline. It's not a one-time event. Just because you took this class or you got your certificate or you got baptized, whatever, it's an ongoing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are becoming and becoming and becoming and becoming and becoming new. Amen? Okay, so, praise him. What do I have, about 5 minutes left? How am I doing? See? Holy Ghost said, by the number of grace, by God's grace, we're going to get through this. You have the answer on your sheet. So, look at number. Okay, I actually talked you through this. How do we develop the spiritual disciplines? We already talked about maintaining the spiritual health. You've got to do this thing. Amen? Therefore, don't lose heart, but through our outer man is decaying. We already said this verse earlier. Amen? The inner man is being renewed day by day. So verse number 5, continually being empowered by who? And he's called, by the way, the Spirit of Truth, who leads us and guides us into all. And now, what do? You need to partner with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? You got to be in step with him, a partner, somebody you dance with. You got to be in step and let him take the lead. Come on, somebody. Yeah! So, learn to lean and cultivate the spiritual disciplines. We've already talked about this. Spiritual disciplines can be learned. And that's why I was telling you, you'll have to learn to call on them when you need to. Amen? But you've got to start setting a time and a place. And start with something small. It's like, well, I'm going to spend an hour with the Lord. Because he told the disciples, could you not watch with me for an hour? Listen, if you haven't prayed for 5 minutes, you ain't going to pray for 60. I remember I went to this conference, man, and that preacher, you need to spend time in the Word. Could you not pray for an hour? And the disciples were, and the flesh is weak. And I mean, I set my alarm, you know, and I'd be like, beep, 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 beep. It was a discipline to get myself into a pattern. Now, here's the thing. There's no set time and there's no set place. You have to do what works for you. Amen? I tend to be a night girl until as of late, because I work late and I leave the school because I have an after school tutoring program, and I get home and I sit on that sofa and I say, I got to change this job because it's interfering with my shows. Because I usually watch certain shows. When I get home and I'm like, ugh. And I wake up, it's like 2 o'clock, go get in your bed, Renee. And I can't do that anymore. So I've got to realize that. And if you do that, you can't awaken early, you know, and pray. So I have a time, a sweet spot in the morning. I told him, because I'm here all year long, 3 nights a week until somewhat 7:45, you know, I manage my tutors. I hire tutors, and a lot of them, anybody knows Zoe, she works here. She's one of my tutors. We pay our tutors good money. We pay them $20 an hour. Come on here. Y'all want a tutor? Anyway, good money, good money. But you got to be able to tutor. Got to be able to tutor. And, but what's happening, by the time I get home, my body is tired. So I said, let me come in a little bit late. And they do. Thank the Lord. And I still teach. I teach classes, and I'm the director of student academic support for the high school, and I run that program. It's more like I'm running that program than doing some other things. But in the morning, I can have a sweet, quiet time in my office. I pull the drape of my office, and it looks like I'm not in there. Hallelujah. Knock, and it shall be open. Not today. Not yet. But I will be in there, and I take my time now. Because if I get home and I'm exhausted, I can't do it at night. If I stay up too late, it's hard sometimes in the morning. So God's given me that sweet time. And then I have a little bit of sweet time mid-afternoon as well. But I'm learning, that has changed over the years for me. You also need to remember seasons of life. Remember, cultivating, it's an agricultural term. We're in different seasons of our life. Different ones of you, your time is different. You're young, you're vibrant, you're this, you're that. But as you get a little bit older, things change. Hallelujah. Woo! So, you have to know where you are in your journey to partner along those lines. So, that's why number three says, evaluate yourself periodically. This picks up a little bit later, almost done. 1 Corinthians 9, it actually starts out, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Then it says, discipline your body. Amen? So you know you've got a goal there. And then you have to have people. Nobody likes to work out by themselves. When I had cancer and after I was being recovered, I started working with a trainer for accountability. Because I had to keep the blood flowing in my body with the medicines I was on. Amen? So you have accountability. People, now watch this. Not just my accountability partner. Usually it's somebody that knows you real well and loves you. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's your boo. That's your ride or die. That's who you want to hold you accountable. Because they'll tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. And the last section as we close is the practice of spiritual disciplines, which we are going to be doing in here. Jesus is our motivation for practicing spiritual disciplines. Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We already talked about this, that the Holy Spirit is the one who initiates and energizes us and gives us that inner strength. Number three, we don't earn God's grace through the disciplines. Amen. He's already given us grace. But what we're doing, we're growing in his likeness, growing that spirit man. Amen. And we must be vigilant not to convert disciplines into law. It's not a legalistic thing. Amen? There are some days I'm too tired to do certain things, so I just don't do them. Well, you know, you're going to go to hell. No, I'm not. I'm saved by grace through faith. Hello. You missed a day, and pick up the next day. You fell asleep during prayer, and you were tired. Get some sleep. It ain't that deep. I think we make it deeper than it is. Sorry, hallelujah. Let me stop. They won't have her come back again. Anyway, you can follow that chart. There are discussion questions on the back and even homework to do. I just wanted to give you an overview and an introduction as to why we need these disciplines and then how we were designed physically. You know, so that we know we have authority over the flesh, but if you understand the flesh, you know how to take authority over it. Amen? Amen. Any questions, comments, ahas before we close? 2-hour sessions. I don't think they'll let me do that. But anyway, I'd love to do it. But please, ma'am, sir, you can, if something spoke to you, tweet about it. Amen? If something spoke to you, tweet about it. Why? Because there are other people that need what you're getting. Amen? It's another way to use this to advance the kingdom. And then if you have other questions, further questions that we can't address right now, go ahead and email me. I will respond to your questions. Give me at least 24 to 48 hours to give you a response, but I do respond. Amen? Let me pray for you and we're done. Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters this morning and how they welcomed me to be able to be used as a vessel to teach them this morning. Now, Lord, bless their week. Go ahead of them. May the peace of God, the grace of God, cover them, envelop them. Lord, your word says, behold, I sent an angel before you to guard you along the way and to the place in which I prepared for you. And Father, may you watch between us while we're absent one from another. In Christ's name, amen.